ever special tonight goes with my message in one way or another. And if I've ever had a message that of late that kind of, I don't know what word you want to use. I don't want to use the word scares me, but in other words, I know how serious it is, and I want to preach it just right. And you know my emotions sometimes get a little wound up in things. And especially one part of this message, I want to come out just as gentle and loving as I can. I thought when the Lord started dealing with me on this subject, I thought that I had preached this one time or another several years ago. I didn't look through everything where I keep everything written down, but I couldn't find nothing. So I thought, well, Lord, maybe I didn't preach it after a lot of thought I did. But it's a serious subject. Now this right here is a doctrine, a holiness doctrine, if you want to put it that way, that's given us a lot of persecution down through the years. And it's going to take something, just like was preached or sung tonight, for you and I to stand for this doctrine. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't like it. And they teach against it. But I got news for you. If I understand the Word of God right, the bottom line is you and I must be pure if we're going to go to heaven. Let's go to my text, Matthew 5 and 8. Again, we desire your prayers. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right, I want to link that together with 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1 and 15, 16. It said, But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, conduct, life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now that said, but as he which hath called you is holy. Listen, folks, tonight, Christ could not have brought about a remedy for sin if he didn't bring a doctrine of holiness. He had to bring about something because the blood of goats and bulls and all that, it wouldn't do what this will do. And that's what God was after. He wanted something better than what they had. So consequently, he was going to bring about something of purity. He was going to bring something of holiness. And tonight, holiness and purity, it's basically the same type of doctrine. If you look up the definitions, they link hand in hand, so to speak. And tonight, the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I have never in my life been understand of the sin you can't help it doctrine of how they can teach that thing when this right here stands for the very beginning. It says you must be pure if you're going to see him, if you're going to have a relationship with him, if you're going to be blessed by him, if you're going to be saved, sanctified, satisfied, you've got to be pure, praise God. There's not anything if you could just go out and tell a little fib here and drink a little drink there and take a few drugs here and just go to heaven. God brought about something better than that, folks. He's got a way and a power and a glory to give you a salvation that'll lift you up and out, set your feet on a solid rock and do something nobody else can do, praise God. So blessed are the pure in heart. Now I want to ask you, how far do you want to see God tonight? How deep do you want to see him? How good a relationship do you want with him? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall. I thought for a while that this would just the shall see God was at the end of life. But one day I heard something or read something, and I got to thinking and meditating on it, and it opened up. This is talking about here too. This is talking about the relationship that we have with God. And listen tonight, if we want a relationship like the first song that was sung up here about the Lord and so forth, if we want a relationship, you and I are going to have to be pure. We're going to have to allow Jesus to come in and wash and clean and do everything that he wants to get you to the place that he wants you to be, where you can have a relationship with the Jesus Christ the righteous. Holy God. He said, but as he which hath called you is holy. Listen, folks, tonight, Christ is pure. He's holy. And he wants you and I. Well, you've got to be. There ain't only he wants, you've got to be. Because if he gets involved and you begin to move toward him and you two meet, so to speak, as we did in 1971, if you'll begin to do that, there's going to be a change made. If you and I will just turn loose and let go, if we will surrender, confess, repent, do everything that the Lord wants us to do, listen, there will be a change made, praise God, and you won't be sinning more or less every day. You'll be a holy, righteous, pure person by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God. Oh, tonight, for it is written, be ye holy. Now, he's called you as holy, righteous, godly. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of life. The Lord wants our conduct every day. And now the message was preached last night. I've joined the meeting. But the bottom line is there's been messages on the power of God, our belief in God. I want to ask you, do you believe this doctrine tonight? Do you really understand this doctrine of holiness? Are you really interested in knowing the depths of this? Because if you don't, I'm going to beg you to start doing it right down here at the altar. It's time to really believe. And then Sister Marcia preached last night on prayer. Right here is the connecting link to keep you connected with the one that'll give you this pureness. That'll give you this holiness, this righteousness. It's going to take you and I praying, seeking, getting down. And sometimes in the early morning hours, sometimes my time starts at 12 midnight. And from that on, if I'm not sleeping, a lot of times I'm walking and praying or sitting and praying or whatever. I'm seeking God. I've had people call me in the night or text me for prayer. I thought ain't no problem. I ain't asleep anyway. I'll pray for you. Oh, tonight, for he, be ye holy. Doesn't say be ye sinful. It doesn't say be you a criminal. It said be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, be what I am. Another scripture here that goes along with that, right over here, it said in 2:21, and I hadn't thought about this in 1 Peter, it said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Listen tonight, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was pure, he was holy, he was righteous. Listen, you didn't hear of Jesus. There ain't no report that I know of that said, say, if it was in today's language, he was smoking cigarettes. Or he was out at a bar, or he was at a drug den, or he was going about lying or cheating, or he was chasing women. You don't find that. His life was holy, and he wants you and I to be just like him. You want to challenge people? You want to stir people? Had a man that I worked with a number of years ago, and my brother's working for the Morgan Body Shop, and Craig had to had a vacation, and Terry needed a little more help. Now, I'm not a body man, so I couldn't do that, but he had me picking parts off of cars, and I don't know what all I did now. But I was working with a man that had gone to Babylon, and he had watched people, and he talked to me about them. And he told me, he said, they were this and this and this and this, and then he'd pitch them in a hypocrite trash can, as I call it. He pitched this one in the hypocrite trash can, that one in the hypocrite trash can, that one in the hypocrite trash can. And he done it for several days. I just pretty well kept my mouth shut. I just listened. And then one day he mentioned a saint. I knew the man, worked with the man, been in his home, on his property, eat at his table, slept in his beds. We had a good relationship. I thought, what's he going to say about this man? You know what he said? He had pure confidence in him. He had watched him. This man had lived a life that challenged him, praise God. Listen, the Lord wants you and I to live a life that challenged people. Amen. It's a light that'll get people's attention, that when we're walking down the street or in a restaurant or wherever we might be doing things with the public, that it'll get their attention and help them to see, hey, this person's not a hypocrite. I'm going to pitch them. This person is a saint, and I want to be like them. Lord, help us tonight. Oh, tonight, be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. All right, let's go to Psalms 19. Let's go to Psalms 19. I don't want to hold this late, but Lord help me. I got to burn tonight. Psalms 19 and 6. 19 and 6, good book of Psalms. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All right, in 140 and 141, I believe it is, of Psalms, it says this. The word of the Lord, I believe, is pure. The word, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. The word of God that works with us, leads us. He used it, no doubt, to call you to him. He leads you to different things, deepening down and getting closer to him. He works with you in those ways, and he used this word. And this word is pure. It's holy. It's righteous. And you know what it'll do? It'll lead you to more pureness. And it'll lead you to more righteousness. And it'll lead you to more godliness. And it'll get you closer to God. That's what it'll do if we'll do it. It said the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening. Listen, the Lord wants us to see things tonight. And this will enlighten our eyes by the Spirit of God. Wants us to be closer to him. All right, let's go to Isaiah 1 and 18. Isaiah 1 and 18. It said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I'm thankful that God wants to reason with you and I. I'm thankful he wants to deal with us. I have been awed in my thoughts over the number of months that this great God of heaven, this holy God, this mighty God, he's the one that wants to help you and I to have something deeper. And then the fact that he'll lower his presence right down among us. Come in and spend time with us. Listen, he's been here in this meeting. He's here tonight. And he is after you and I. He wants you to see a deeper purity of love. He wants to see you, he wants you to see his love, his greatness, his power, his mercy. He wants you to see a greater forgiveness. His Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to have a depth in these things that we don't have now. I made a mistake several years ago. I asked the Lord to forgive me. And sometimes I have a tendency to go back and say, Lord, have mercy, and just be sure I'm clear. Now, I don't know if you do that or not, but anyway, this was about 2 weeks later. It was about 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was praying and looking to the Lord, and he just stopped me. And he said, what does the Bible tell you? I said, the Bible tells me to forgive people. He said, child, I am the spirit of forgiveness. Some people think they can never be forgiven, but I tell you tonight, when he comes and calls you, and when he's working with you, he's ready to forgive you, praise God. He wants to forgive you. He died to save your soul. He died to do what he wants you to have, the plan of salvation. He wants more depth in his word. He wants more doctrine. He wants us to learn and understand the doctrine. He wants us to be deep, the leadings of his spirit, the voice of God. Now then, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, I've been privileged to clean a few carpets in my day. And I got news for you. If you get a red stain in carpet, especially if it's white carpet, you probably will never get it out. It just, I know of cleaners, and I found one that does real good. And a person asked me one time, said, one of their children got something in the carpet and got it stained up and said, is there any way to get that out? I told them what to do. They went and bought it, tried it, and it worked. But I got news for you. I've got into some deals in carpet I didn't get out. No matter how much I rubbed, brushed, sprayed, cried, prayed, whatever, I couldn't get it out. But it said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. In other words, you're the dirtiest, filthiest person. And you may say, there's no way. There's no way. Another job I went on one time, Lloyd and I come walking in, and Jack was already there cleaning, and he was cleaning cabinet tops, and this cabinet tops had these four-inch tiles, I guess. They had been on there for years, and you know they get on there, and in the kitchen they're going to get pitted, and guess what gets in them? Grease and dirt and grime. And Jack was working and struggling, and Lloyd and I walked in. He looked over Lloyd and he said, you finally done it. Lloyd looked at him and said, what did I do? He said, you found something I couldn't clean. I found something I can't clean, Lloyd. Heck, this grease and grime is down in there and I cannot get it out. I got news for you. I've never seen Jesus throw up his hands and say, I can't do it. Praise God. If he gets on the trail, you can be clean. I don't care how dirty, filthy, how big a sinner you are. No matter where you're at in life, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the holy God, has made a plan and has the blood to do what needs to be done. And he'll do a wonderful job on cleaning you up. Praise God. Oh, tonight, come now. Listen, folks, it's time to reason with Jesus. Amen. It's time to talk to him. It's time to meet him down here at the altar or at your bench or wherever. It's time to say, Lord, help me. And you and him have a powwow, so to speak, and get down to the bottom of it and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save my soul. Do something that I have never been had done. Listen, like I said, I've not been able to do it every time with carpet. And maybe even with some other things too, because I've run into some tough ones. But the bottom line is Jesus is never. Doctor that worked on my dad, he done everything, and others done everything they could do. But finally, he told Mother, and I believe Craig and I, if I remember right, he looked up and he pointed up and he said, it's up to him now. We can't do anymore. Jesus had never said, I can't do it. He's never turned you over to another specialist. He never sent you to another lawyer. Listen tonight, he can do anything, praise God. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and I'm able to deliver you. Just come now, let's reason together. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's get under the depth of it, and I will deliver you, praise God. Come now. I want to set you free. I want to do something for you that you've never had. Listen, the problem of Babylon, folks, is they don't get free. They say, well, just accept the Lord Jesus. It's deeper than that, folks. One man told me one time, I was doing some gender work years ago and running a buffer back and forth, and he was over here next to the wall reading the Bible. And I said, well, that's a mighty fine book you're reading. He said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, well, the Lord saved me. I don't remember all the answer I gave him. But I got to thinking about that. I thought, me accept the Lord. Now, we've got to do that, but somebody else got to do some accepting too. He's got to accept you. He's holy. He's righteous. He's godly. He's pure. He's not going to accept you into the kingdom of God till you get your sins washed off. You'll never get through the door. I am the door. By me, if any man shall come, let's see, enter in and go through and go out and pasture. I can't quote it just quite like it is, but the bottom line is, he's the door, and you ain't going through with a past of sin. You got to get washed up, praise God. Oh, tonight. So I thought about that, accepting. I thought, well, I could put out a whole bunch of resumes and job requests like my nephew did, trying to get a job here and get a job there and couldn't get anything. But I said, you can put it out there, but if they don't call you and hire you, you won't get one red cent. You've got to be accepted by them. You can accept every company in the United States and they won't pay you a dime. You've got to be accepted by Jesus, folks, and the way you do it is come now. Let us reason together. Let us pour our hearts out together. Let's pray and beg and plead for the power of Jesus Christ and his blood. Brother Sammons, he didn't pray through it first, but he finally said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. Praise God, it don't take a long, humble cry. It just takes us preaching out. Lord, I'm here to reason. Lord, I'd do anything you want me to do. I'll surrender. I'll give up cigarettes. I'll give up drugs. I'll give up drinking. Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it. I didn't know I was going to get in all this. You all pray. Oh, tonight, I'm willing, Lord. I want a reason. I want to surrender. I'll just do anything. And when we get to that place, he's beginning to get us where he can accept us. And then, praise God, he starts a washing. And he starts cleaning. He writes our name in the Lamb Book of Life, and you come up there at peace. Praise God. You come up there a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Oh, tonight, pureness. He's got a pure church, folks, and you better believe it. And there ain't no sin going to heaven. Come now. Let us reason together. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us tonight. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 1. 2 Peter 3 and 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now you probably maybe wondered, why do I hear this message over? Maybe you hear a message on love. We've had, what, two times in this meeting, we've had two messages a lot alike, maybe more than that. The one on believing, and then Sister Clay's on faith, and then the one by Brother Aaron Brown and the one by Brother Kenny Elwell. They tied together. Why do I have to have this over and over? Because he's wanting to stir up your pure minds. He's wanting you to get a deeper depth. He's wanting you to understand what he wants you to get a hold of. And so consequently, he brings it over. Listen, I don't know about you, but I didn't learn it all in one night. And I still don't know it all. And I don't claim to. But the bottom line is, it takes time. It takes preaching. It takes teaching, like Brother Jim done this afternoon. It takes us getting into it and learning line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. He said here, by their pure mind, listen folks tonight, if you got a pure mind, you want more of the Word of God. You want to learn more. You're interested in it. But if you don't have a pure mind, I've been in places where people were looking, so they said, for the truth. Tent meetings and different things down through the years. And oh, I found it. I'm so glad to be here and so forth. And they would have been going to this place and that place or whatever. And then they would hear our doctrine for a while or hear our preaching. And so I'd check back with the pastor or somebody in congregation. How's that couple doing or how's that family doing? Oh, well, they left. They heard something that crossed them. There's a cross, and it's a right cross, and you want to get on that cross, so to speak, and crucify self and do what he wants you to do. He wants you to reason together. And they walked away. They didn't stay around. Listen, folks, today, pure minds are interested in the good things of God. They're interested in the depths of God. A pure mind is a tender mind to work with. Amen. It's a tender mind, a loving mind for God and for man. A pure mind is a mind that wants to be properly balanced. A pure mind is interested in more in being led by the Spirit of God. A pure mind is more interested in more of the pureness of God and man and helping mankind in seeing his pureness. Sometimes maybe we kind of squirmish a little bit because of our dress. I was in Puerto Rico back in 2015. Brother Dan sent me down there to do some work. And the product didn't come in when it was supposed to, so I had a day. He said, you can go sightseeing. He said, but I warn you, I'd stay away from the beaches. Well, I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll do that. Well, I went down and looked at this and went over there and looked at that. And somebody told me about a tower that's built down. And they said, you can go down there and you can climb up that tower and you can see things and everything. I thought, well, I'll go look at it. So I did. What I didn't know is right on the beach, nearly. It was right close to the beach, the ocean. So I went down there and I was looking and picturing and taking pictures and so forth and doing things. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to mosey over there. I went to Hawaii. And my daughter and my wife begged me to get in the warm water of Hawaii, and I never did do it because I was supposed to go, snorkeling with my sister and my daughter, and that didn't work out, and I never did get in the warm waters. They told me it's so warm down there. So I thought, I'm going to stick my feet in this water and see how warm it is. And here's the bottom line, folks. I saw people down there that was more modest in Puerto Rico by far than the people in the United States. I didn't see one bathing suit. And I wasn't out just looking for bathing suits. That's not what I'm meaning. But the bottom line is, there was a couple over here with a lab dog that I love labs, and they was over there playing dogs, and she was pretty modestly dressed. I thought, they're playing in the ocean. And then I didn't get very close to people, but I thought, well, they're all just enjoying life. They don't look like they about got their street clothes on too. They was living a better lifestyle, if you want to use that word, than people are here in America. I got news for you. If we're going to get their attention, we're going to have to dress like the Lord wants us to dress to get their attention. We're going to have to live the life. We're going to have to dress the dress. Whereby? So tonight, stir up your pure minds. Now, the Lord wants some pure-minded people. There is things that we can have in our minds that nobody knows about but you and God. And you might think, well, I can kind of slip this by. No, the Lord sees every thought and every intention. And if there's anything, men, that cross through your mind that shouldn't be there, the Lord knows it. Young men, the Lord knows it. There is people that look at women, that they get some thoughts they shouldn't be getting. Lord help us. Let's keep our minds pure. And women, there might be some things come up. Now, I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can here tonight. I'm not totally against Facebook, but Facebook can have a hazard to it. It can cause trouble. It can cause people to maybe get in trouble. So my advice to you is you better be real careful with Facebook. Rebecca used to use it a lot, and when she would, and she liked to use it for somebody said, we need prayer. And she'd call me and say, hey, we got somebody needs prayer. And tell me who it was and so forth. She used it for things like that. She looked at it some. I look at it some too. I'm not saying I don't. But the bottom line is I'm not involved with it. So I want to ask us tonight to be real careful. The devil wants to do anything he can do to trap any one of us in any way. And if he can use Facebook or Twitter or I don't even know much about them, to be honest about it. But the bottom line is, if he can use anything to get you in trouble with the Lord, he'll do it. So we need to keep our minds pure. Because there's things you might see, things you might hear that could cause trouble. And nobody know it. Nobody know it, but the Lord knows it. The wife don't know it, or the husband don't know it, or the children don't know it, or the neighbors don't know it, but the Lord knows it. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and he's talking about the scriptures above, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. But he's saying here, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, I know he's writing to a minister here, but the bottom line is, I want to beg the young people to be careful. Amen. I've been married twice now. And young people, I want to warn you just as lovingly as I can, and I'm trying to be just as gentle as I can, but I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil does not want anybody to go into marriage pure. All right now. He doesn't want that. I had a man that I was working with years ago, that's before I'd ever married the first time, and we was talking about pureness. And he looked at me and he said, Carl, he said, I wish I would have been pure when I got married, but I wasn't. I was very careful. Both ladies, in our actions to one another, and somebody that had family right here in this deal warned me on the second go-around, said, Carl, you better be careful. Know the kissing, know this and that. And I said, I know. I done taught against it years ago, and I sure don't want to break it now. So the first kiss that Molly and I had was when this gentleman right here said, I pronounce you man and wife or husband and wife, and you can kiss the bride. Well, I kissed her. I thought it was pretty decent. But some of the people did not listen to this, did not get a picture of it, and said, we want another one. Well, some of the young people probably run hit on that same deal, but I didn't. I just gave her another kiss. Listen, folks, that was the first kiss Molly and I had. When I married Rebecca and kissed her the first time after Brother Williams said, you're husband and wife, that was the first kiss of her and I. I was very careful with both women. I've been very careful in dealing because I've been in homes with women down through the years, and I am very careful. I have always been very careful in how I deal with them. I a lot of times let people know who I am and what I do for a safety zone. I'm a man of the cloth, as they call it. And I want them women to know that because I'm not interested in having any type of a relationship with anybody outside of the woman I'm married to. And so consequently, young people, I'm going to tell you now, some people don't like this, but the best thing you can do, the most you need to know about a woman or a man is right in the engagement period before you get married, and then you can read a book. You can talk to mama and daddy. You can talk to the minister. You can talk to grandma or grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, you don't need to know a lot about the opposite person till you get to the place close to marriage. Is that all right? Amen. Lord, help me. I'm trying to be good tonight. Yeah. And I wouldn't preach this if I didn't know that there's young people that have gotten caught. I'm not talking about ours particularly. I don't know anything about that. But the bottom line is, I want to warn you before you get there, keep your hands to yourself. You don't need to go out kissing goodnight. You don't need to go with just hugging up all the time, going around. No, Keep your hands to yourself. Be very careful where you go, what you do, who you're around. Oh, Brother Carl, you're getting too tight. Well, I don't think so, because it said flee youthful lust. In other words, if there's anything that would trap you, run from it. And that's what I'm warning you. This thing can get you. I know of a parent mentioned to me one time that one of the children was interested in somebody, and they set him down and just talked to him. And they told him, said, the flesh is powerful. And I think that child's claiming to be saved, if I'm not mistaken. And said, Brother Carl, I told them to be very careful. I said, you said the right thing. You need to be careful, young people. I love you, or I wouldn't preach this like this. And I preached it pretty tight down through the years. But I preached what I've lived, and I've lived what I preached. And tonight, Lord help us, young people, there's plenty of time to kiss after you get married. There's plenty of time to hold hands after you get married. There's plenty of time to put your arm around her after you get married. You don't need to do it before, because the devil is always looking for a way to get you in trouble. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He said, flee also youthful lust. All kinds of things. There's a lot of people that get caught up. And that's what I was caught up in. That is, I wanted to have money. I had a lust for money. Power. Authority. I wanted that one back there before I got saved. And that's when the Lord climbed in a car that night Brother Lloyd Eck worked with me for 3 hours, bless his heart, doing everything he could do, but just pushed me down on the floor and make me pray. And I wouldn't get down there, and the Lord climbed in with me, and he sat down. He said, child, you can be ever so rich, and I can take it away just like that.
Yeah.
Oh, some people think, oh, I want this and I want that. What we need is Jesus, folks. We need Jesus. We need the very power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives whereby we can live a pure life and challenge folks that they don't pitch us in the hypocrite trash can, but they say, I like that man. I like him. I like that lady over there. I'm going to tell you, they live a lie. Did you see them praying? Did you see them offering things? Did you see they go to church all the time? I've had people make fun of me. They come through going to the Rose Bowl in California from the East Coast, and I just wanted to go to Myrtle for a weekend singing, and they just laugh at me. I said, that's fine. I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go give me a blessing. Go all the way, 400 and something miles, to hear the singing and the preaching and the praying. Listen, folks, there's glory. It's heavenly places, praise God. And you and I need to be there when the singing is going on and the preaching is going on. We need to be there. Follow righteousness, follow faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Look at those people, the older ones. Watch them. Watch their love. Watch their fervency that they're wanting you to see. The young need to watch the old, the middle age. The old needs to watch the young and the middle age, and the middle age needs to watch both. We need to look at one another. We need to watch how they act and what they do and the life they live. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Let's go to Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Time's getting away. Young people, again, I love you. I wouldn't preach this way if I didn't. But I have been around a while now, and I've seen some things. I was in an apartment one time cleaning. Third floor, if I remember right. Got it all cleaned up for the people, and nobody was there. And I come out, and I looked out as I was coming out, and there was some women over there. And they wasn't dressed like saints were dressed. Let me put it that way. And I just quickly brought my gaze this way, got it down on the stairs, and I got myself out of there real quick. I was in Walmart parking lot the other day, parking lot. And a woman got out of a car ahead of me, and I happened to look, and she had on some clothes that were just not very decent. I quickly got my gazed another way. Listen, young men, you can start looking, and you better turn your eyes away. Or the devil start bringing thoughts real quick. And the best thing to do is look away, run away, whatever you got to do. One minister was in a home. I've heard him tell this story personally. Well, I've heard him tell it. Anyway, he was in a home. There was a young lady there, a daughter, had mom and daddy and maybe some other children there. But anyway, the parents left, and he didn't know it. And this girl was, I guess, 17, 18 years old. I really don't know her age, and I really don't know. Well, he never told me who she was. But he said he was coming down the hall and said he heard some noise in a bedroom. And said he looked, not knowing what was going on. And he quickly said, no, no, no. And he took off and he ran for his life. He got out, got in the car, and left the house till mom and daddy got back. Listen, you have to put the devil on the run sometimes. And the way to do it is you run. and say, no, devil, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to look. I'm going to run for my life. Wasn't it Joseph? I've admired that story. She done everything she could do to tear him down. Even got him put in prison. But because of what he done, even the lies had told on him, God saw what happened. And he blessed him. And he brought him from the depths of the low to the highest of the high. Because he was true to his God. Oh, tonight I'm going to tell you. I know of another case. Lord, help me. I can't get off of this. I know of a deal that rode into Abbey. And a man was a serviceman. He went to work on a washer machine or a dryer. And the wife of the house just kind of wanted to do things that he didn't want to do. And so he left. He didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. And they left. He left. And he found out that the company wanted him to go back a second time. So he asked Abby, what would he do? What would she do? She said, in no way would I go back. I thought that was a very good answer for coming from a worldly woman. Don't you go. You got a marriage. You got a wife. He said that he's married. As far as I know, it was a good marriage. So don't put yourself in temptation's way, because the devil will take care of you. He'll take advantage of you if he can. You all pray. I'm trying to get off of this and get on something else, but I keep getting back on it. Tonight, the Lord wants a pure people. He wants you pure when you're alone. He wants you pure when you're in a crowd. He wants you pure on the job. He wants you pure flying in a plane, riding in a car, in a truck, in a bus, whatever. He wants you pure 24 hours a day, no matter where you are. All right, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. It said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things. Now listen to what he says here. Listen to what Paul says. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Saints, we want that kind of life that we can challenge people. You do that, the God of peace will be with you. You follow my example. That to me is a high deal. But it said here, it said these different things. Things are true, honest, just, and pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, good report, and virtue. If there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, folks, when you get in a battle, and you get in discouragement, this right here is where you need to go. You don't need a Reader's Digest. I'm not saying you can't read a Reader's Digest. I got in trouble with that one time years ago. I didn't even know it. But I didn't mean to say what I said. Anyway, they got it out on me that I said, you can't read a Reader's Digest. No, that ain't what I meant at all. But the bottom line is, this is the best book in the world to read right here. This is the best thing to think on. If you're in a battle, you're in trial, you're in trouble, get this good old book out and say, Lord, help me, and start looking into the scripture and think on the things that are pure, the righteous things, the godly things, the things that God has written for you and I, that he said over there, thy word is pure and thy servant loveth thy word. Listen, folks, we need to love the word of God tonight. We need to love the word. God, give it to us. He paid a high price, folks, for you and I to have this. He told me, I died for you, child. I died for you, Carl Schaefer. There's been nobody else out there. I gave my life for you. And the tears started rolling. And that's why he's crucified for me. And songs along that line mean so much to me tonight. Because he died for me. He died for you, everybody. He gave his life. And he wrote this book with power and with authority. And he set it in place to lead us to heaven and to glory and to pureness and to power and to authority. He wants it for everybody tonight. And it's there for you. But things are pure. Think on these things. Consider these things. All right, let's go to James 1 and 27. Pure religion. and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God has a pure religion. He has a pure salvation. It's undefiled before God. And it said to visit the fatherless and the widows. A charitable heart, wanting to help, wanting to give, wanting to do. How many of you, and I know I get on this and you may get tired of it, but the Lord said this is part of your ministry from the rest on out, so I guess you'll hear it till I die. And that is, how much are you helping the bereaved? What are you doing for them? Those people, I sent a card and some stuff out to a place. And I wouldn't say I was hard on them, but I was trying to admonish them because they was a preacher's child and they had lost their son, and I was trying to help them to move toward Christ. And I was trying to be gentle, but at the same time I was being firm, and I thought, Lord, help me. I don't want to say the wrong thing here. So I asked some of the family later. I said, I want to know something. I said, did they say anything about what I sent them? Yeah. Had they bragged you up one side and down the other? Oh, well, all right. I don't know about that. But the bottom line is, nobody in that congregation has sent them one thing. They didn't go to the funeral. They didn't send a card. I don't believe they sent any flowers. They did nothing. And I'm 1,100 miles away trying to get this person saved, and I ain't even getting help from the local congregation. Lord, help us. Well, you're an evangelist. Yeah, I am, but it'd sure be help if I get some local help. If somebody would help us. So are you helping the fatherless? Are you helping the widows? Are you doing things? Now, some of the things that Brother Philip has entwined in this congregation, I think is wonderful in the help that he's done for the widows and the men of the congregation, so forth, the things they've done, I think is a wonderful thing. But there's a lot of people that's crying tears tonight in Louisiana. They're hurting. I know. I've talked to the members down there. I'm very close, and I've got relatives down there. And I've been checking. I've been talking to them. I've sent cards. One person told me, said, Brother Carl, said, when you see my grandson, hug him. He loves you. I don't know what I'm going to see him, probably Monarch. But I thought, Lord, you can do a better job than I can. Hug him up good. And I prayed that over and over. Lord, I want you to take him in your arms and comfort that young man. I know he's hurting. I loved his dad. I know he loved him more than I did. Oh, tonight, to visit, to reach out to send cards, to send texts, to give meals, maybe some money, whatever it might be, that lets the world know our hearts are in the right thing, folks. It gets their attention in their afflictions, in their hard times, in their sicknesses. And then it said, keep himself unspotted from the world. Lord, help us to keep ourselves just exactly where the world, where the Lord wants us, running from the world, so to speak. Not have anything to do with it. Somebody said, why do you teach against the world, preacher? Why does the Bible teach against the world? Because it leads away from God. All right now. It leads, it doesn't feed your soul, all right? It doesn't bless you the way you need to be blessed down in here. It doesn't help you get closer to God. Well, you guys just go to church so much. Yes, I do. I want to make heaven. Been doing this a long time. Don't want to quit. I'm Sister Marcia. I'm like you and Brother Jerry. I'm getting closer every day. And I want to go, praise God. I give lots of years into this work and just in living for the Lord. But the bottom line is tonight, the Lord wants us to be unspotted. And you need to say, I don't do that. You don't need to be ashamed to say, I don't go to Disneyland. I tell you, things that's coming out of Disney World in Florida, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it anyway. And I've heard of things. Brother Michael Smith dug in some stuff I didn't even know about. And my brother said, he looked into what Brother Michael was saying. He said, Carl, he said, that's so true. And I didn't even know anything about it. The man that, I can't even think of his name now, but the man that started the whole deal. Basically, Disney World and Disneyland has been corrupt from the whole time, because from the very top, it was corrupt all the way down. And now then, the governor down there of Florida, he's letting them know, hey, you ain't going to shove me around. He's doing some things that I think is very good. Keep yourselves unspotted. All right, a little bit further, and I'll be through. 2 Timothy 1 and 3. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience. Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, in my prayer night and day. The Lord wants us to have a pure conscience. Conscience was given to people for God to use. And there's seared consciences. There's hard consciences. There is consciences that God has a hard time working through. We don't want a conscience like that, folks. We want a pure conscience. We want one that the Lord can just reach down and touch. One time I wanted to go somewhere, young people. It was a family members, and it was a young people's get together. It wasn't with our church, but another group. And I thought, well, it won't hurt to go over there. But I kept feeling pricked. I just felt like the Lord didn't want me to, but I bound and determined to go. And I hadn't been saved all that long at that time. I was in business, so it had to be after 73, got saved in 71. But anyway, I was determined to go, and the Lord said, well, if you don't understand me, child, I'll help you out. He made it where I couldn't leave my business. And then I found out things that went on. I thought, thank God I didn't go. Thank the Lord. We need to have a conscience that the Lord can reach down and say, hey, do this instead of that. Go here instead of there. Do this instead of that. Oh, just Lord, we want a pure, clean, pure conscience that the Lord can work with. That's so tender and so easy for the Lord to reach down and guide us with it. Help us. Talk to us. Oh, Lord, help us to have a real pure conscience tonight. All right, wrapping up. 1 Timothy 5:22. 1 Timothy 5 and 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. But I want the three words. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Now, he's challenging us here to do that, to keep ourselves pure. 1 John 3 and 3, it said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, tonight, keep thyself pure, saints, young people, all of us. Lord, help us to keep ourselves pure. To have a high regard for this biblical doctrine that the Lord has for us that leads us to God, to a deeper relationship with God, more power with God, more love with God. That's what we need. And so keep thyself pure, everybody. And he said, and every man that hath this hope in him. In other words, to me, every one of us want to be just as pure as we can be. There is animal lines, purebred dogs, purebred cattle. The place that Brother Matt Gillenbeck bought, I thought, I'm just going to dig into the history on that ranch, because I'd always admired it, going down I-40, been living out here a number of years back there in Shawnee. And so I looked it up. That ranch was a premier Angus cattle ranch of the country, one of them. Well, he said they're premier. And it had some of the best cattle I guess you could buy. We want the Lord to look down and said, I have a people that's the best because of my power, because of my grace. They have lived it. They have died it. They have done, and they've reached out after me. They want to be closer. They want to be everything that the Lord would have them to be. Now then, what needs do we have tonight? How close are you to God? How pure are you tonight? How much purity you want to be, so to speak, in the fact that you want to be just more like Jesus, more like Christ? My heart is praying. Help us, Lord. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Let's stand and have a number.